is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Man, we have been fucking sick for like a month.
No, it's
how long have we been in Europe?
Just 3 weeks. Yeah, we've been sick for 3 weeks.
I'm doing
good today, though. You're doing good, too.
Yeah, man. I keep just throwing up big gobs of
no
dark
one wants
green
to
shit.
Hear about that,
this
Henry.
Is our lives.
Yeah, but no one wants to hear about that part of our lives. They want to hear about how we went and we were in Sweden. We are in Sweden right now.
Sweden, the only way I can really describe it walking around is that it's all of the kids from the rich kid camp. From the 80s movies.
They're very similar looking people. Beautiful people by
very
definition.
Handsome.
They almost
men, very hot women walking around.
They almost look like automated creatures. I've been checking for cords to make sure they're not just robots.
Is that what you're doing? You're literally walking around grabbing people, being like, where's your operating tables? Where's your remote control, woman?
Yeah.
You know what they also look like? The dudes all look like the bad guy from a Woody Allen film. I mean, even though now we know the fact that Woody Allen was the bad guy all along.
Sure, sure.
But it's
he
always,
didn't write it that way, though.
No. It's always like a good-looking dude in like very up-to-date 70s clothing. They're very, very handsomely dressed.
They're very handsome. Good people. It's been great to be here in Sweden. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with Swedish Henry Zabrowski.
Yeah.
You know, we really do. We realize when we travel abroad, Americans, I'm not going to say we don't dress well, but you know what we do? We are comfortable.
We are comfortable.
We're a comfortable people because everywhere else, they're like, better put on my nicest shoes and my nicest click-clacks.
Well,
and it's like,
especially here.
Especially here.
Stockholm, everyone is very fashionable. They are very, very polite, though.
Very polite.
No
everyone's
one's
been great.
Called us filth.
Not yet.
No one's called me a toilet monkey.
Not at this point.
I see some of their looks. And they also found out that the kroner that we've been using, we got a bunch of cash, mm-hmm. and apparently kroner is really only used in Stockholm by people that have committed crimes.
Yep, it's for money laundering. I didn't quite realize like what their inflation is here. So we went to exchange our cash, and I know this is very exciting for everyone.
This is top-tier entertainment.
Top-tier entertainment. But I gave them 1,000 whatever we had, yen or something. And then I got back like 12,000 krona, and I was like, this is cool, man. Mr. Moneybags didn't realize a salad, it's like 2,000 right there.
I did do the thing when we sat down to dinner the first night, and I was like, $600 for salad. And like, oh yes, I'm a moron. And they know it because they saw my eyes get big and they're like, that's another American who doesn't understand that America doesn't go with him everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't. And I prefer it this way. It's so fun to get out and experience these things. We would never do this kind of shit.
It is. Did you do?
Can you imagine your parents in Stockholm? Can you imagine my mother and my father in fucking Stockholm?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my family has a bit of a history with Sweden because they had a certain rules of banking that were different after the World War II. So, yes, I actually can see my mother strapped with cash driving back to Germany because at one point she did have to do that.
But they were different. They were hushed. they were being hushed and they were on the run.
Yeah.
When we get to Berlin, though, I'm excited.
Cannot wait for Berlin.
We're going to see some shit, dude.
Speaking of fashionable, they are going to be top notch and we are going to be dumpy losers. Although you brought a nice little suit. You like to dress up. You can do it.
Yeah, I got some shit. I got my knee-high boots. I got a helmet with a point on it.
Is
it's
that
gonna
right?
It's going to be great. Going to be super sick. Wait till they see me doing Uber Deutsch Henry Zabrowski.
Yeah, what is Uber Deutsch Henry Zabrowski going
to
look like?
It's going to be nothing but the highest bit of fashion, and they're going to see me and be like, oof, is he the commandant of the Passion Police?
Uh-oh, Fashion Police. It's a great wrestling tag team as well.
Okay, so we have some stories. We're going to do this real quick as we go through, because, you know, there wasn't a lot of information. Mainly our email account is just slammed with questions for our question and answer version of RelaxFit that we're going to be doing this week.
That's it. So if you want to submit a question, I mean, again, it is slammed. So the odds of you getting on are very limited, but Side Stories LP otl@gmail.com.
And the goal, is to do some hard hitting ones too. We're gonna do some AMA. We're gonna be completely transparent.
Maybe we'll
like what happens if when you talked about pissing your pants in your dream last night. What would happen to your underwear once you piss all over?
I didn't piss in my pants during my dream last night. I pissed on my shirt because I fell down while urinated in a toilet, and Weird Al Yankovic was there. That's a whole thing.
I saw shamed comedian, what's his name? I don't even remember his name. The guy who got fired from Saturday Night Live. I watched him for some reason in our dream.
In your dream.
He came into our Edinburgh green room and he pulled out a micropenis and he started tugging on it.
I don't know. Well, again, that was just a dream. That did not happen.
That did not happen.
In this world, it would be like, you'll isolate the footage and be like, another thing.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
I don't know what my brain did. I don't know why I did that. I'm going to have to talk to my fucking therapist about it. Thank you, brain.
You probably will. Yes, another gift that your brain keeps on giving.
Okay, here is an article from the New York Times. More than 2,200 preserved fetuses found at property of dead doctor, officials say. Now, this is written by Derek Bryson Taylor. This is a bit of an interesting story.
It's a lot of fetuses.
My mom
likes
to collect owls.
Is it owls?
She likes owls. For a while, it was witches. Before that, it was snowmen. My mom has many various tchotchke collections.
Why is that? Because my New York mother, Carmen, she collects chickens. She likes stuffed chickens, statue chickens, porcelain chickens. What happens in the mind of a person where they say, that's it? Is it like, do they look at an owl? Well, they just had a wonderful orgasm or a great meal. And they're like, they combine the two in their heads.
Well, my mom had a spiritual experience with an owl and it had nothing to do with a fucking orgasm. An owl, my mom was in a time of trouble and an owl flew into where the lanai is, where the pool is.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I know that owl was a messenger telling me that everything was going to be okay.
Well, now what'd the owl say to her?
It just made owl noises.
So she just
didn't go like, "Ah, Linda, let me tell you the future." No, it was an owl. She saw an owl, but
it could have been a salamander. Then she would have worshipped salamanders.
Yeah, and you have to go down to Mexico and get all because that's where we got the Tulub. You wouldn't believe the gift shops in Tulub with the amount of salamanders they have.
Oh my goodness!
But I think that it's a way to push back death. I think that collecting things, because then what it does is it gives you a thing to do wherever it is that you go. So my mom, wherever she goes, she's like, oh, I got to get an owl. And so, like, if you're one of those people, like, my mom had a friend growing up that was like my sister's godmother.
Right.
That she collects tiny spoons. So any place she went in the world, she'd go look for tiny spoons.
Well, now, what the hell are you going to do with that? Eat a little soup? That's ridiculous. Well, back to the fetuses.
Speaking of collections, the family of a doctor in Illinois discovered more than 2,200 medically preserved fetuses at his property a little over a week after his death.
Sheesh.
The Will County Coroner's Office received a call on Thursday from a lawyer representing the family of the doctor, Ulrich Klopfer, who died on September 3rd. While going through Dr. Klopfer's property, the family found 22,246. They rounded down.
I think
they should have rounded up.
Yeah, might as well make it 50, sure.
Medically preserved fetal remains. At the request of the family, the lawyer asked the coroner's office to remove the remains.
I would think so. Yeah, that's not nice. You don't want
surprised he didn't want to be buried with them. Like, it's his family, like 101 Dalmatians.
Honestly, it could have been how he gets ripped apart. I mean, this is not a statement of an abortion. This is a statement of a horror film. He gets ripped apart by the fetuses in hell.
Ooh.
Just like, it's like the fetus's revenge.
Well, I'm going to maybe give you a little bit of a push back on the from hell thing. I don't know if he was in hell. All right, so we're gonna
So Dr. Ulrich Klopfer, he was likely Indiana's most prolific abortion doctor, and I guess, you know what they say, you never work a day in your life if you do what you love. And perhaps he was doing what he loved.
I think he was just a tiny game hunter. Are those his clays? Those like heads, like you'd
know.
Put in a trophy room?
This is a very dark, cryptic story, but
yes, it is a very dark story. Now, he worked for an abortion clinic for many, many years. I believe it was called the Woman's Pavilion. It closed in 2016. He stopped performing abortions in November 2015. The Journal Gazette said that Dr. Klopfer received a 6-month license suspension after a hearing with the Indiana Medical Licensing Board. He was found guilty of 5 of the 9 charges he faced. It doesn't say what those charges were.
Oh, okay.
During the hearing, Dr. Klopfer told the story of an abortion he performed at a hospital on a 10-year-old girl who had been raped by her uncle.
Yikes.
Dr. Klopfer had told the authorities that he had let the girl return home with her parents, who chose not to seek charges against the relative. Ugh. So I guess the people are getting really... He was... kind of doing it undercover a little bit, which you shouldn't
be
doing.
Well, I don't know if that girl needs to be going back home to parents who aren't going to charge the person who raped their 10-year-old daughter.
I mean, that's...
Maybe that's a situation to try to find a better caretakers. My God, that sounds pretty brutal there. But that, again, is another situation that we have to remember that falls outside of the public conversation when it comes to reproductive rights on a regular basis.
We got to deal with this all the time.
That is a 10-year-old who was raped. My God, how horrible. So Klopfer, they say he's likely Indiana's most prolific abortion doctor in history, with numbers going into the tens of thousands of procedures in multiple counties over several decades.
Well,
so,
can I ask this? Not that you have any clue, Kissel, and I don't mean to put you, throw you under the
bus.
We'll
see what the question is. You might very well be correct.
What do they do with the fetuses after the abortions?
Well, they put them in they have the fetal remains, and they usually put them in, the red bags that say, like, you know, sensitive materials, biological materials, and they put them into a receptacle that is then picked up.
Are you saying the nice term for they throw them in the trash?
Yes, but it's in a biological trash. But they don't.
This is
what
fun.
I'm saying is,
you know what I like about this? These are fun waters for us.
This is great. No, but that's what they do. You got to get rid of it somehow. You have to, obviously, it's like all doctor's office. You don't want to, no matter what kind of doctor it is, if it's a liposurgeon doctor, I'm just saying you don't want to go rummaging through the trash, because what you're going to find is bags and bags and bags of fat. It's got to go somewhere.
Well, yeah, it's got to go somewhere, and so, I'm glad it's not going into our restaurants.
It's mostly like the bags of fat are probably going into our candles. We don't know.
That would be kind of cool. I think it should be done that way. I think it'd be funny to put little nipples on either side of it.
If I ever get lipo, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, I want that fat back because I grew it myself, and you're not going to take it for me. And then I'm going to make a bunch of candles of my fat, and then everywhere I go in my house, I'll be surrounded by myself.
You literally losing weight.
Yeah.
As the candles go down. What if in a way this was him, like, memorializing these fetuses, where he, instead of wanting to get rid of them, maybe he just wanted to keep them all in his house like his little baby army.
Like owls, like your mom does with owls and my mom does what are the names of those things?
The Hummels?
The Hummels.
Does she do Hummels?
She loves Hummels.
Well, you know, we're about to go to Germany.
I know.
How thrilled would she be if Benjamin remembered?
Oh, man, now you've proposed this idea, and that would be a great gift, and now I'm going to have to do it because I haven't bought her anything ever.
If you just remembered once, if you remembered one time your mother and what happened after you slid out of her like a giant screaming salami sandwich.
No, that's not true. I didn't even cry at birth. I didn't speak until I was 2. But honestly, if I could find her a Hummel of Jesus Christ on the cross, I think she would forgive both of my brothers for being gay and forgive me for my lifestyle and finally embrace us once again.
This is what this is about. This is what this trip is about. All right. You go out there, you're gonna heal your family with tchotchkes.
With tchotchkes. And look at that. That's the testament to us. Yes, we started talking about 2,200 fetuses, but now we're talking about the love of family.
See?
Isn't that great how we always get here?
We always get back right to family.
Right.
That's what
to
I always
family.
Think about it, because what would be nicer than to come home to 2,200 little ghosts, all just maybe you can train them to, like, put you to sleep at night, lift your covers
like
onto
birds.
You, get you beer.
Sure.
All the little fetus ghosts turn on the television for you. Won't even in a remote control. Think about how much money you can save on batteries.
Yep, there's a lot of possibilities. Either way, strange, macabre finding. And I gotta say, I think the lawyer is right. Probably want to get rid of them because it's not going to help the resale. It's just not going to. It's not going to help the resale.
It's
and
really
if you're
going to
buy, if you're going to buy a house, honestly, that's on the real estate agent.
I would be.
They have to know.
I'd at least be concerned. I have a lot of questions about the foundation.
Well, because we do have some listeners who say, we've gotten some emails because we've had this conversation, the house of a serial killer, would you buy it?
Yes.
what if it's horrible though? We're not talking. I'm talking Fred and Rosemary West because we're in that. We are in their neck of the woods, or we were anyway, as we traveled through Europe.
Is it open concept? Honestly, how nice is
Because judging by the story, it's not open concept. It's relatively closed concept.
Because Nat and I have spent a lot of times watching HGTV shows, and we have a dream house already in mind. So technically, stone floors, like kind of stone tile.
Be cool.
You know, the big island in the kitchen. Uh-huh. If you got a fucking commercial kitchen, something like that.
Uh-huh.
All the kind of cast iron, all the nice appliances. So it's all up to date.
If the kitchen is right, you're moving in tonight.
I'm just talking about a nice, seamless walkthrough from front door to kitchen to living room and a giant living area.
What if all of the crimes happened in the kitchen? What if it was like the kitchen butcher who would take over? He would take home teenage boys and he'd butcher them in the kitchen and eat them and cook them in the kitchen in that very oven.
If there is a French door refrigerator in there, it's still on the table. It's the we can still talk about it. It's just about price.
Okay.
I would be scared about all the fetuses. And again, if we made you really upset about our abortion talk, understand that we have no clue what we're talking about.
Oh no, I don't think we. I think we handled that in a wonderful way of true crime. All right, well, let's move on to a cuter story, but it's also a little violent. A dog shoots man. You don't hear this very often. This is a story from The Guardian. So, dog shoots man. It's an Iowa pet owner. He pulls the trigger on his owner. So how the hell did this happen? This dude was 51 years old. His name was Richard Remy. He was just sitting on his couch, relaxing. He had his gun on his lap because you never know. Someone's busted into your home in Fort Dodge and you got to protect the family.
Was he just petting it?
I don't know what he was doing with the gun on his lap. Watching Wheel, just being like, better get this right or I'm going to go through another television.
You tell me what them answers are, Sajak, or I'm going to put a fucking bullet in your gut.
He always does tell me, though. It's like, you know, it's a show, right? Like, they would do it if you weren't pointing a gun at the TV screen. Doubt that. So he's just chilling there with his dog, and his dog is a beautiful pit bull Labrador mix. His name is Baloo. B-A-L-E-W.
Oh, Baloo. Isn't that a child's show from France?
I think maybe,
is
actually.
Baloo, like one of the shows where he goes, and then he has like a purple crayon and he draws like he draws the cityscape and then becomes real and then he's got a little red balloon.
That might be Frumpy's Cupcake World.
Oh, I love Frumpy's Cupcake World. And have you seen the porn of that?
So, Baloo, the dog, he backed up. He must have disabled the safety of the gun at this point.
How?
And then in his belly band, and then the gun in his belly band, and stepped, and then, okay, yes.
Okay,
he disabled the gun in his belly band.
Wait a second.
Gun was in his.
His gun was in the fucking waist of his pants, yes, like Al Bundy's hand.
Yes, like Al Bundy's
hand.
And
the dog was sitting on the other side of his lap.
Yes.
So he had his two best friends.
Yes. He was having a hell of a Tuesday or whatever this day was. So that happened. The trigger goes off. Boom! A gunshot fired, striking Remy in the legs. He was treated at the hospital and released. Remy told the Messenger newspaper that Baloo is, quote, a big wuss, and laid down beside him and cried because he thought he had done something wrong. I also don't know if that makes your dog a big wuss, because your dog just shot your ass.
Now, is this appropriate? You know, sometimes they say, like, I don't agree with it. But the idea of taking a dog's and, like, rubbing its face in it. Like rubbing its face and the mistake that it made.
Really,
I don't believe in that.
But I think if you it just rub gives it, him a poo-poo fetish.
If you cover the dog all in human blood to try to teach it a lesson, does it not maybe then give it a taste for human blood?
I think it would. This is a pit bull Labrador mix. I love pit bulls and Labradors. But, you know, you don't want to have the taste of blood in their mouth, because next thing you know, we have a Cujo situation and this dog is demonic and it's killing the entire town.
Here, I'm looking this up. If dogs get a taste of blood, do they crave human meat?
I think it's possible. I'm going to say, if they're hungry enough. So that is basically the beginning, the middle, and the end of that story. Richard Remy will survive, but hopefully he's learned, don't put the gun near your cock, because if you got a dog, it's going to shoot your ass. So anyway, just a little tale, and it's a cute dog. Look at him.
Oh, bloodthirsty animal, ready
to
kill.
He's not bloodthirsty.
So there's a. This is just from thelightofdog.com, but this just says, do dogs really develop a taste for blood? But this is just saying if they kill an animal. But it doesn't seem to. It sometimes does, like, it killed a bunny. He's talking about the story of a dog killing a bunny, but then the dog then knows it can kill the bunny. So maybe it'll go after bunnies again.
So it's not like it's bloodthirsty. It's just like, I can win this battle, so why wouldn't I do it again and again and again? It's like playing Madden on PS4 on rookie mode. It's like, yeah, you're going to win every single game, but is it fun?
Oh, this is the... Since human blood is more salt than animal blood, once wild animals specifically get a taste of salty blood, they do not like other animals, even deer.
Ooh.
Then other animals, they see here, this is from an article from Science, this Science section of NBC News, that says certain animal predators may become serial killers of people.
Ooh.
Most recently, a ravenous leopard in Nepal is believed to have killed and consumed at least 15 people over the past 15 months. It is not out of the realm of possibility that some individual animals may learn to target humans, George Burgess, director of the Florida Program for Shark Research. Large cats may come to view us as easy pickings under some circumstances.
This is very interesting. See, this is why humans needed to develop weapons. We're the popcorn chicken of the animal kingdom. But of course, because of our brain noodle, our brain meat, we circumvented how weak we are, physically weak.
But then
apparently
also,
we taste very good.
We invented snacks for these animals.
But then we invented snacks and weapons out of necessity. Although I did learn this, why we were able to survive and hunt down so many animals. So you know what we do have? More stamina.
We can outwalk an animal.
We just slowly, like, kind of jog after a lion. And at some point, yes, the lion's going to win the race, but the lion's going to have to sleep. And you know what that is? The tortoise and the hare.
That's how I plan to kill you. That is the final. I should have said it.
I actually think I could walk more than you.
You might, because those are longer strides.
Yeah, but now, of course, if we try to break out into a sprint, neither of us are going to be doing very well.
No. We need to go to a hospital.
Yeah.
This point in time, I'm getting winded walking up the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm deeply sick. I think I have pneumonia.
It's possible. Walking pneumonia.
But you know what? I'd rather. You know what we really have, though, on this trip?
What do we got?
Laughing pneumonia.
Oh, we have had so many laughs.
We've really honestly had a great time.
So many laughs.
I want to cover this is not a real story. This is just someone on Reddit posted, I guess they've been having a hard time with a guy who's been throwing liquor bottles filled with his semen onto the front of their house. And this person caught footage of this truck driving past and throwing a bottle of semen into their front yard. And then another fellow brave Redditor saw the footage, said, oh, that kind of looks like Santa Cruz, realized he actually spotted the same truck doing the same thing to him.
What in the world? So this is a serial semen spreader.
That's really it. Serial semen spreader on the loose in Santa Cruz.
That is horrifying, though, because what does that escalate to? And why would somebody do that? I don't understand the whole, like, throwing of excrement and stuff like that.
Why did people collect 2,200 fetuses? Why did my mom go from collecting over 150 snowmen to 150 witches to the point where my mom has so many signs that says, if the broom fits, ride it, right? Which just makes me want to pluck out my eyeballs.
It's kind of cute, though.
It is cute, except for the fact that it just makes me think of my mom getting tortured by the NYPD.
Well, that's very true. Maybe, and your father, of course. I'm sure they had some fun role-playing when he was in uniform. But what about, so does she keep, so as she goes through these phases, you got the snowman, you got a witch, and you got an owl phase, does she keep all of the tchotchkes, or does she throw them away when the phase is over?
They move to lesser important areas of the house.
Huh.
So it slowly goes into, we have like a living room, like we have the room that we all hang out and watch TV in.
Right. Is that the snowman room?
That is now mostly owls and pictures of the family.
So that's the prime room.
Prime room, prime real estate, because you're watching TV. If you even happen to break glance with the television for whatever, whatsoever, you'll see either Jackie's weird, awkward faces or my weird, awkward faces floating over the television or owls.
Very cool.
That's what you're going to see. Jackie also did this weird thing I noticed. She should probably address this on page 7. I'm going to make her do it. She did this weird crooked smile thing that she was trying to do, and I think it's because she saw somebody do it in a movie. And so she does this weird, like, grimace in a lot of the high school pictures. She had, like, did you ever do that as a kid? Did you have, like, a look or, like, do a thing?
I mean, I failed at every single look I ever had.
But so, I mean, like, was there like a pose or like a shirt that you'd wear or like a thing that you'd do?
I'm pretty sure in one of my senior pictures, I went shirtless.
That's awesome.
I went buff and wore a cowboy hat.
That's fucking hilarious.
It was a funny picture.
No, that's really funny.
I was trying to make people laugh.
You were nominated most rowdy.
I was rowdiest, loudest, and class clown.
Yeah, dude.
I got the trifecta. Although, all I wanted, and I think this goes for every single person who does comedy, all I wanted was class rebel. And I lost it to Tyler Kennedy, who's a great guy. He's a heavy man. He was a drummer. He's a cool guy. Quiet, though. But he got class rebel. He didn't even smoke weed or drink.
The thing is that quiet guys, because class rebel is kind of a sexy position.
I know. That's why I wanted it. I lost by 2 votes. So I could have gotten class clown, loudest, rowdiest, and class rebel.
Class
rebel is really the one I
too
wanted.
Sexy.
I wanted it the most. No, he was not a sexy guy.
But it's sexy. Girls like quieter guys sometimes.
No, they
always they can
do.
Project whatever it is they want them to be saying into their minds.
I know what happens.
We're blabbermouths. So what I had to learn in order for me to attract Natalie, I had to learn how to listen.
Shut up, yeah.
Yeah, I learned to listen. Up. And because, you know, and because what do we do here? What is Side Stories really but us just listening to each other?
You know what, man?
Actively.
I've said this before. In real life, I actually don't talk that much.
Well, really?
Yeah, I've said it before.
Wow, you have?
I've said it out loud to no one. Yeah, yeah.
To an empty room. I don't really talk a lot. Well, anyways, just like alone in your house?
I do believe that, though. Don't you think when we're on the road, I don't really talk that much?
You talk a lot. Huh. We all talk a lot. Marcus talks the least.
You think so?
When we were in our, because we took massive van rides across the UK, and we were doing that. I was trying to stay more silent because my fucking throat was destroyed and I was trying to save my voice. So I could speak for the show.
Right, of course. I mean, that's key. We can't play the keyboard. We don't know how to play the guitar. We're not talented.
No.
So the only thing we can do is talk.
All we do is, no, you say talk. We strut and fret. we take what is just a series of planks of wood.
Yeah.
And yes, some footlights. But from that, we spin imagination.
We do.
That's
we
what
do.
We do. We create something from nothing. True alchemists of the spoken word.
That's true. Well, I guess I'm going to hold on to my notion that I indeed don't speak that much in real life.
We all talk quite a bit.
I mean, I just have to, if I see something that I disagree with, I just have to address it.
We just all talk a lot.
It's not that I want to talk. It's just that I'm prompted to talk all the time.
You legitimately, honestly, just talk. I do as well. Unprompted. I've said this before because people, you know, like as we're on the road, like, as you do the show, being like, I do a show alone. I can sit in this room with no one and begin to monologue. Just out of sheer afraid of the silence of my own mind.
Oh, my God. We would put on, if we ever got sent to solitary confinement, it would be a show for no one. But it would probably be the greatest one-man show. A 10-year-long running one-man show.
You say a show for no one, but I guarantee I get a couple of guards watching through the slots.
You could get a couple.
I could get them watching through the slots, and it's me just keep going. As I'm going, like, different material, I'll be roasting them. They'll be laughing. I'm inviting other people in there. I mean, that's how I'd flip solitary confinement.
Yeah, you could. Make it a showcase for yourself.
And every once in a while, just piss through the fucking hole. Yeah, hey, I got you, fuckers.
You gotta do that. But maybe you get some free bologna sandwiches along the way.
But Bill Burr taught us you gotta lose the audience a little bit in order to get them back.
Ah, is that what he's done?
Yeah, so you gotta try to piss in their mouth so they go mad, and they get dragged back in once I start doing impressions of the warden.
Ah, that'll be cute because no one likes the warden.
Yep.
I love it because that's just their boss, too.
Yep.
And the warden's like, you're not doing it right.
Cut him
the warden's
down
yelling at everyone.
Yep, dude. Punching up.
Punch up. That's
like
a good point.
Speak truth to power.
Absolutely. Don't be a snitch, though.
Oh, no. I understand that they'd make me suck my own dick forcibly.
All right. Well, let's go on to Hero of the Week. The hero of the week this week is, I suppose, ritual
Are you just, what country did this story
this
take place
in? This is in India.
I think this is just the hero of the week is India.
India. Let's make India the hero of the week. So a town, I believe it's named Bhopal. It's B-H-O-P-A-L.
There's no way you're messing that up.
No way I'm messing that up. No, we'll call it Bhopal. It was going through a drought. July 19th, there was a massive drought. And they're like, what the hell are we going to do to get this rain starting? Well, it turns out there's a Hindu god, Lord Indra. And the Lord Indra brings rain to the region. But how would you sacrifice, or what does this Lord want? Evidently, this Lord wants love to be in the air. But not love between people, love between frogs. So they had a frog wedding, and they both said, ribbit. Ribbit, and that means I do in frog. And because of that, they received 26% more rainfall than normal.
But that's, they didn't plan for that.
But no, they did not. But because they married the frogs, they, and I don't know if like who was the pastor or who was the talker.
I don't know if it works like that.
I don't know, but they married the frogs, and you see this picture here, Henry. They dressed him up and they put jewels.
Oh, that's fucking cute as fuck.
And the frogs kissed.
Did they make him kiss?
I think that's what they're doing in the picture. And so because they married the frogs, the rain came down from the heavens. But now they have so much rain. The frogs are going to have to get a divorce.
What if they...
It's true.
But what if they legitimately love each other?
Well, they can still hang out.
They say with arranged marriages a lot of time, I mean, obviously it's a little difficult, you know, because you just the first time you're meeting your bride. But sometimes you can't. And if the proper matchmakers are there, you can grow to love the other person.
I just feel like parents are the worst matchmakers on earth.
Can you
don't
imagine
know
what,
why.
Who would your mother choose for you?
Someone from church. Someone who is...
But sometimes church ladies are like secretly like freaky deaky.
Yeah, but sometimes they'll absolutely hate every single one of my opinions. That also really sucks.
Yeah, especially when you're like, God's a fraud. You know,
isn't that nice? It's a concept made up by people so they can make money. What? Oh no. No, my parents would choose, I can't even imagine the atrocity that would occur when they try to set me up on a date.
But what if they throw the ball to banked?
It would get even worse because
he'd choose
a guy just assuming. He'd be like, oh, fuck it, I'll go with my boys 3 out of 3.
I honestly think I would trust my dad more than anything because I think at some point he'd be like, yeah, she's got big ones. I think that he would edge towards understanding. He'd look to himself, he'd look in the mirror and be like, if someone gave you another chance, Henry, what would you do? Like, I think that he would do and be like, she's got to have big ones.
Oh, maybe. But then next thing, I don't know. That's a tough one.
My mom would choose for me to stay single.
Yes.
And I would just live in the house and she'd make me 400 pounds.
Like the biggest fetus around.
Mm-hmm.
That's
just
nice.
Sucking. Oh, mommy had barbecue today.
Oh,
mommy had barbecue today. I wonder if I'm going to get a boat and I can hang out with Dr. Kopf for the rest of my life.
Oh, wouldn't that? You would be such a great mama's boy. I could see it.
Mommy. Where's my damn underwear?
Oh, my goodness.
Mommy, where's my damn video games?
You sound like Holden McNeely.
Yeah, and he's just turned himself into his own mommy.
All right.
I love him.
So that is the hero of the week. And so, proof that love is more powerful than science.
As always. I have some viewer letters.
All right, let's do it.
I want to go through. Number one, I want to say... This comes from, I'm going to just bring a caller L, and it's been the letter I've been waiting for. It's finally a true thank you for our work and our exposure to different art forms, and I it really means a lot to me. Big fan, love you a lot. Henry has wondered aloud on more than one occasion whether or not the actresses from the Mormon Girls site are actual LDS members. I somehow still cannot glean if he is serious, but I'm here to lend a definitive answer. Nope, they aren't, or at least I can vouch for myself and the other woman I acted with in one of the Mormon Girls films.
Whoa!
I'm not. She wasn't. Here's a fun fact. There's a brother site, Mormon Boys, and both series of adult films are written and produced by a sibling team of ex-LDS members. The sister runs the Mormon Girls and the brother, the Mormon Boys.
Interesting.
That's fun. They grew up Mormon, left the church, are both gay, and decided to begin a small venture in themed porn. So I suppose one could call it a family business. And so I just want to say thank you for your work. Thank you for your... You know what I'm going to say? Thank you for your job in exposing the true nature of the secret rituals of the Mormon people.
There you go.
What really is going on behind the veil. It's been very interesting. I've learned a lot.
That's great. You know, it's funny. I actually have not looked at the documentation yet.
It has left such an impression on me and my family. And honestly, thank you for your work. You're doing a good job.
Absolutely.
And thank you for reaching out.
Mormon Girls, check it out. It is wonderful entertainment of an adult variety.
They are women. They are not girls. It's girls because
they do that on the website. Of course not. Yes. Well, naturally.
Yes. thank God I said it.
I guess so. I thought that was assumed, but
right.
Okay.
So this comes from, someone wrote a response to 14-year-old killings from a neurological perspective.
Oh, okay.
Because we had a lot of people that talked about, there are a lot of very hot takes and very intense opinions about the subject if minors that are involved in very intense crimes should be treated as an adult.
And of course, this is because on last week's episode, we spoke of a 14-year-old who found out that his mother was actually his stepmother, and then he killed the entire family. So, okay, here we go.
Okay, so here we go. The reason why there are laws that prevent minors from making decisions is because they lack the capacity to reason and make responsible decisions. The prefrontal cortex is dubbed the new part of the brain, meaning that through different iterations of humans, this part of the brain is the newest to evolve. This part of the brain is what gives us the ability to make executive decisions, emotional maturity, i.e. feelings of empathy and other appropriate emotions, planning, especially the ability to consider consequences of one's own actions, along with other functions. This is what makes us different from other primates. However, what makes us similar is our limb system, which is the old brain, which is where survival urges lie, fucking, eating, shitting. This area drives our reward-seeking behaviors that makes us happy, sad, frustrated, and in this case in particular, what makes us angry and triggers us to act on that anger.
Mm.
The job of the prefrontal cortex is to dampen the urges of the limbic system so that you don't do things that you would regret, which put you in danger or harm others. Oftentimes, drug addicts have a weaker prefrontal cortex, either before starting abusing the drug and or compromising it due to repeated use, because they lack the ability to use reason to stop the urges to use the drug that is signaled by the limbic system.
Huh.
The limbic system is the first part of the brain to develop in human children, and it is the primary system used in most animals. The prefrontal cortex is the last part of the brain to develop and is fully developed at age 25. This is why there are laws against alcoholic consumption or consenting to sex. Their limbic system is stronger than their prefrontal cortex, so they make impulsive and irresponsible decisions as they act on their emotional urges rather than following reason. It's also the reason for why we make dumb decisions in our early 20s. In this case, the case of the 14-year-old, his prefrontal cortex is way underdeveloped, so his decision-making is below functioning. I would even say for this child, it is below functioning for persons his age due to the severity of his crimes.
Right.
This is very interesting. Like Kissel said, he must have had some sort of behavioral issues to begin with, right? That probably would say that he has
kind
of malfunctioning prefrontal cortex. So even for a 14-year-old, his ability to reason is overshadowed by impulsive, aggressive behaviors. Based on his actions, he lacks empathy by harming loved ones and lacks reason due to the motive of the crime. In the case of minors being charged for a crime, they should not be charged as an adult, but be placed in a rehab setting, prioritizing their mental needs.
All right, so there we go. I think
that's
we
an
came
opinion,
up with
obviously,
a very,
but it's interesting.
Yeah, I think we came up with a similar consensus. Thank you so much for the email from an expert's perspective. All right.
And we have one last one from T. I'm a bit behind on the episode, so forgive me if this has already been mentioned, but in Japan, there's a common urban legend of a kind of yokai called Jimenken.
Ooh.
Human-faced dogs.
Oh.
This goes back to seeing human-faced dogs.
Yes.
The stories date back to the Edo period of Japan, but sightings were common for a period of time in the late 80s, early 90s. They look like ordinary, dirty, stray dogs, but they have the faces of a man.
Oh.
The interesting thing, though, is that they supposedly are able to speak. Usually, though, and this is true, and then I looked it up, they just tell people to fuck off. They are fairly harmless.
I want
harmless,
that dog so bad.
But they sometimes are viewed as the bad omen or a harbinger of doom. And they get a harbinger of doom. They're also known to chase after cars and scare drivers. Aww. But if you look up this little picture, they look like little grumpy old men with dog bodies. And they fucking roast you.
Honestly, forget that stupid movie Cats. Let's talk
the movie.
Man-faced dogs.
We should
Fuck
off. That is such a fun idea for a movie called Jim Mencken, where you basically have a bunch of man-faced dogs, and you have it a bunch of... That's where you can get your Bill Burrs and your Jim Jeffries in there.
Absolutely. Rogan could be on that one.
You
That'd
could have them get in there, and it's
we
just a lot
be
of
on
like,
that one.
Hey, what's going on, Klotz? As soon as they see you, be like, fuck off. And you're like, get out of here. This man-faced dog has hurt my feelings.
All right.
Well, thank you guys so much for your letters, as always.
Again, side stories, LPOTL @gmail.com. Thank you for your stories, and thank you for your emails. Just lastly, I just got this story in. In Melbourne, there's a new ice cream store staffed entirely by robots.
Yep.
Yeah, you look at that. You fucking trust that robot? You trust that lying little piece of shit?
I'm not going to lie. I would go there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, because you're a monster.
I just like the future. I like the future. I'm embracing the future.
It's not about the future.
Also, the U.S. Navy has straight up said that the videos that were released, the Tic Tac video that were all released in December of 2017, all of that stuff, they have now admitted that that shit is real.
Cool.
They said it's real, but it was never meant for wide release.
Oh, it's a lot like Rob Zombie's movie 3 from Hell.
We'll see.
I can't wait. Honestly, it's got 7.8 right now on IMDb. We just haven't heard anything about it. This has been the most nerve-wracking thing for both Henry and I.
We're like,
what's happening?
Good.
I haven't heard any reviews. Where is this movie?
Please be good. I got that. The new Creepshow TV. We have a lot of good fucking shit to watch when we're back in America because we can't get it here.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. And seriously, thanks to everyone who has come out to our live shows. This European tour was a miracle. And to be able to travel around with best friends and just see the world is truly a dream come true. And
I can't believe this
thank
shit.
Thank you.
So live every day like you're on your way to a restaurant that serves mostly onion cream. Ooh, no, you don't understand that brown onion cream
was very
is so good.
I don't know if it was so good the next day.
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
I definitely took a brown onion cream.
Yeah,
next day. Love the lutefisk that you have on your desk. I had such a wonderful I had fika this morning, which is Swedish term for coffee in a pastry. And I went and we had a lovely little I had a cappuccino and I had a little yurt. I'm not sure what it is.
Yurt.
It was a thing.
Okay.
Some kind of biscuit pastry. And ooh, I was loving it. You should have seen my smile. It almost
like
touched
half smile?
Yes, like Jackie's half smile. I was so filled with Swedish joy.
Mm-hmm.
So much klarsch I've had so much klarsch.
Good.
So much stuff. And laugh like you're a tall Swedish man looking at me and you feel superior for a little bit. You know, and you feel superior looking at my American clothes. But joke's on you, buddy.
Why?
Because we got the guns.
That we do. And of course, love.
I said that.
Oh, did you? All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening.
Triple L, baby.
Triple L. Never forget. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me. Hail me. Fucking
indeed. And no, just ask your realtor, has anyone been murdered in this house? And if they say yes, you've got a decision to make.
Or you sort of say, one's about to be, and then he slit his throat.
Whoa.
Yeah, making ghosts.
That's scary.
That's a locally sourced ghost.
No kidding.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.